We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday indeed. Today we're keeping your mind, body, and spirit on the upswing. That's what we're going to do. A chain of mental health clinics continues its growth in greater Milwaukee area with a new location in Waukesha and another under development in Wauwatosa. LA Mental Health has more than 200 plus franchise locations around the country already in Hales Corners and Middleton. We're going to talk about the company's growth, access to care, and a changing perceptions around health and the business impacts of mental health. In the second half of the show, the surfing business in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. How's that for an interesting topic? One way to get your mind right, always get next to the water, hit the waves of Lake Michigan. Jake Brissett is the owner of Lake Effect Surf Shop in Shorewood. He's going to join us to talk about the uniqueness of his business and kind of how he juggles everything in his life as an entrepreneur, including surfing each and every day on Lake Michigan. But as we do each and every morning, let's go to Up.
Up one, two. Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2, 2, 2
Up on the Upswing.
First up in business news, things I'm seeing that you may have missed. GoFundMe goes for the votes and the dollars. Donald Trump's campaign is using GoFundMe to rally its network of backers and donors around the survivors of the recent hurricanes and even back to his assassination attempt. The bucks traditional avenues of emergency relief for sure. Two high-profile fundraisers organized by the nominee's national finance director have drawn more than $14 million. Now, these don't violate any campaign finance laws, according to legal experts, nor is the campaign allowed to pocket any of the proceeds from these political ends. But a GoFundMe spokesperson says that all the funds that have been raised, especially during the Butler, Pennsylvania event, have been dispersed. But using a crowdfunding platform kind of marks a pretty unorthodox response to crises for a political campaign. This, according to the AP. Never before has a major party's presidential candidate turned to the for-profit company, which usually features appeals for helping cover tuition costs and medical bills, to mobilize their base towards outside charitable causes. It's pretty unusual and actually quite odd, said Brent Kappel, a longtime campaign finance attorney with Harman Curran, who has advised Republicans and Democrats. Next up, no more Starbucks deals for you. Starbucks is pulling back from promotions and discounting, an early move by the new CEO at Starbucks to reposition the coffee chain after a somewhat turbulent year. This, according to the Wall Street Journal yesterday, since Nicole was tapped as CEO just this August, Starbucks has quietly reduced the frenzy of discounts that it offered in these long stretches in the summer, according to company executives and baristas. Starbucks and other restaurant chains obviously have been going to the discount avenue the last couple months instead of raising prices. But now Starbucks is pivoting away from the discounts that it has been offering to go towards higher-end brews, more discounts in terms of offering more loyalty points and getting back to what it does best, and that's high-end coffee. It's an interesting play, and you knew there'd be changes from the new CEO just looking at the prices, as we're going to do with the Upswing Coffee Index next. But a grande 16-ounce pumpkin spice latte through the app, you're looking at $6.25 right now. Nearly $10 if you add all the extra syrups and flavors. So, hey, Starbucks, while they're getting away from the discounts, it's far from a discounted cup of brew. All right, this is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Is that coffee?
That's it! I'm getting 100 cups of coffee.
coffee, starting now.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Smells good.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, the Upswing Coffee Index. Always looking for new places around the metropolitan Milwaukee area. I stopped at the Stone Creek Cafe and Kitchen in Whitefish Bay this morning, right on Silver Spring. It's a really cool space. It kind of transforms from breakfast to lunch to dinner. It has a full scratch-made dinner menu. Also, 8 local beers on tap. Not like you need that in the morning, but 12 natural wines available at night, too, from these self-service dispensers. It's a really cool, innovative space. Highly recommend it. Open till 9 p.m., too. And my 12-ounce coffee this morning, $2.93, in and out really quickly. But it was buzzing, even with a little rain and a little cold this morning. Pretty active space. Producer Jaslyn, you stopped at another fun spot this morning.
Oh, my home. I just made some coffee with some Cameron's brand coffee because I was like, I bought coffee yesterday morning. Okay. I don't need to buy again. And I had a date last night at Anodyne, and I'm like, that's enough spending money on coffee for me. But I'm glad that you mentioned it was open till 9 because I like coffee places that are open late.
That's good. Yeah, it's kind of that cafe and kitchen approach. So they do take out meals and dine in. So it's this full, kind of full service cafe approach there from the Stone Creek in Whitefish Bay. All right. A fast growing chain of mental health clinics has a new location in Waukesha and envisions new clinics around the area, including another one in Wauwatosa. Kelly Keel is the director of the new Ellie Mental Health Clinic in Waukesha. And Kelly joins us on the line this morning. Kelly, thanks for taking time out of your morning.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So mental health stigmas, they've really broken down, right? Yet we're still in the Midwest. We're nice people who want to keep things to ourselves. Tell us about some of the economic and just personal factors that make Wisconsin, you know, specifically the Milwaukee area, such an attractive market for your company's expansion.
Sure. Absolutely. So, you know, I would almost argue to say that anywhere in the U.S. is really attractive for expansion. The need is just so high for mental health services and finding access and care. In the U.S., there are actually 350 individuals for every one mental health provider. So that is just a staggering statistic, yeah. But more specific to Milwaukee, you know, there's so much segregation. There is so much unmet need here, and there are just a lot of people who are underserved.
Mm-hmm. So if you look at Ellie's business model, which obviously you're offering mm-hmm. therapy, several different types of therapy, specialized programs, mm-hmm. how do you compete with all the online offerings and then just the established clinics?
Sure. Yeah. So it again just kind of comes back to partnering. There's just mm-hmm. such high need that we really just see ourselves as partnering and joining the community and helping. And actually, we get really positive feedback from other professionals as we're opening because they have somewhere to refer and vice versa, you know, when we're looking for a specialized type of care. As far as virtual offerings, you know, I think post-COVID, there's a lot of virtual fatigue. People want to be in person again, and they want to get out of their home, and they want to have a, you know, a pleasant, comfy office space where they can come to and meet in person when possible. So I think having that model where we're able to offer both forms, I think makes a big difference as well based on client preference.
Kelly Keel is the director of the new Ellie Mental Health Clinic in Waukesha, joining us this morning. So, Kelly, as you look at kind of the expansion of Ellie Mental Health, you've gone from a single clinic in 2015 to over 200 across the country now. What are some of those factors other than just the specific need for the therapists?
Sure. As far as the growth?
Yes, correct.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, so Ellie is owned and ran by clinicians all the way up to the CEO. And so I think that the model from the start has been very smart as far as finding work-life balance for clinicians, having really just appropriate work expectations, you know, not inundating us clinicians with so many clients that the clinician becomes burned out or can't feel that they're fulfilling the needs of each client.
Mm-hmm.
And so the model is really set up to take care of clinicians first, so that they can provide the best care to clients. One other major difference is with Ellie, we really encourage each clinician to really advocate for themselves and see their specialized population. What they're most excited about working with clients on, because that can have a huge variation as opposed to just taking general population. And so getting clients to the right person, and encouraging clinicians to get the caseload that they, of the populations that they would like to work with, I think makes a big difference as well.
Kelly Keel, this is the director of the new Ellie Mental Health Clinic in Waukesha. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the franchise model and kind of dive into the economic impact of increased access to mental health services in the greater Milwaukee area. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Giving Tuesday is sponsored by Seniors Helping Seniors of Waukesha. In-home care for seniors by seniors. We're talking with Kelly Keel from Ellie Mental Health in Waukesha. Kelly, again, thanks for taking time this morning. We appreciate it. As you look at kind of the company's model and the acceptance of Medicare and Medicaid and other major insurance payers, how does that affect the competitiveness of your business here in Wisconsin?
Sure. I think that actually makes a really big difference. We run into a lot of, the general community runs into a lot of barriers with insurances being accepted, running into self-pay and unaffordable care. And so being able to, widely offer that we do accept Medicaid, Medicare, and all insurance payers, including we really encourage people to call even if they don't see their insurance listed on our website, because we will go find that insurance and we will get them in network for us. We will contact them and do all the background work so that we're able to panel with as many insurances as possible. And a lot of times that just isn't the case, because it's a lot of background work and a lot of administrative type of work in order to make the contact with insurances.
Yeah. So in terms of innovation around treatment, the company has an innovation hub in Minnesota as you look for new service mm-hmm. lines and new therapies. How do you roll those out nationally, and are they specific to different markets?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, the model is really meant to empower each clinic to sort of make their own decisions and hire, us as directors really see fit clinically. And so when we see a need in a certain area, we definitely target to hire clinicians that have those specialties. So, for instance, right now we're seeing a lot of need with children and families. And so we look into expanding, and hiring for play therapists and therapists who specialize in that area, as mm-hmm. well as Spanish speaking. We would love to get someone who's bilingual to meet the needs of the Spanish-speaking community as well. So it's really personalized to each clinic.
So the franchise model for people like you really offers that ability to tailor the therapy to the markets and to use different things. Like, I'm hearing more and more that humor is being used in treatment philosophies.
Yes.
Is that what you're finding?
Yes, absolutely. That's huge for us here. We down to the signs around the office and the comfortability and just the encouragement to really be authentic, creative, compassionate. And, I really, as a therapist, try to be myself in sessions, and we're all human and we all have our flaws and we all have mental health, right? So
yeah.
Really just being very open and honest about life's journey.
Very good. So what is your, if someone's looking to get help either, personally or as a family or through their place of work, what's your simple suggestion?
Sure. So I would suggest, we have every therapist individually listed on Psychology Today. But even the easier way would just be to Google us, look up Ellie Mental Health Waukesha, and we have no wait list, we have immediate openings, and we've got 6 clinicians excited to meet the community.
All right. And when is the official grand opening of the Waukesha location, Kelly?
Yeah, so we're accepting appointments and clients now, but our big grand opening party, that is on October 26th, and that goes from 11 to 2, and people can come and meet clinicians, do face paint, and have snacks, and just check out our gorgeous brand-new space.
All right, and then in terms of the growth around the area, here maybe Wauwatosa is the next location, and then is it kind of up to the franchise owner then to identify the new opportunities from a marketplace standpoint?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so they kind of can take a look at, you know, economically what's going to make sense from a business standpoint, and then you know, we collaborate together to determine accessibility. You know, we'd love to be in Wauwatosa next with a bus line, closer to a bus line. There's that medical campus over there, and just would love to become newly accessible to a whole new population of people.
Very good. Kelly Keel is with Ellie Mental Health Clinics in Waukesha. Kelly, I appreciate your time this morning, and all the best with the grand opening.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you. Up next, surfing on Lake Michigan and the business behind it, specifically as we enter the winter months. Be a fascinating conversation for sure. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Is your shower and or tub space looking like it could use an update? WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do, you take a picture of your shower, your tub space, and then you text the word creepy with the photo to the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. Submit your picture, and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. For contest rules, visit our website at WTMJ.com. All right, on to the business of surfing. Jake Brissett is the owner of Lake Effect Surf Shop in Shorewood. It opened in 2016. He joins us on the line this morning. Jake, how are you this beautiful fall, almost winter day?
Doing great, Jeff. And we actually got some waves out there today, so I can't complain. This is excellent.
All right. So you've been surfing this morning already?
I have not. I held off to conversation, but okay. I will be running out there once I dip out of here.
All right, that's great. That's great. So, what's a surfboard going to cost me these days? I just have no idea. I bought some paddle boards through the years, but talk us through kind of just the surfboard 101 economics.
Absolutely. Well, surfboards, just like any industry, you know, cars, things like that, you know, you can find some really nice expensive ones with all the bells and whistles, and you can find some more affordable, even used ones that are great for beginners and pretty much almost any price point. You know, generally speaking, you know, a brand new beginner surfboard, we'll say, or a molded epoxy, kind of a more, you know, less boutique one would cost around, you know, $400 to $500 brand new. Now, if you're looking at that board used, you're looking more in that, you know, maybe, you know, $200 to $300 range, if you're lucky. But, you know, things have gone up since the pandemic, and more and more people surf. So I will say the prices have gone up, a little bit here and there, but, generally speaking, you can usually get into that sport here for about, you know, $400 for the board, and then maybe another, you know, $400 for that entire wetsuit setup with the boots, the hoods, the gloves, and all that.
Okay. As you were thinking about opening the business, how did you kind of overcome the initial, I'm sure there was some skepticism from banks and maybe investors, like, oh, you know, this Jake kid is pitching the idea of a surf shop in the Midwest in Milwaukee. How'd you overcome that? And just tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey.
Absolutely. I never, you know, growing up as a, you know, kid here in Wisconsin, I never planned on, you know, starting a surf shop or, you know, being a retailer or anything like that, really. It was just my love of the sport. I love to snowboard, skateboard, surf, kind of do everything on a board. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, really just going through life, having that be a big part of my life. And Ended up, you know, hitting our 20s. I think when you hit your 20s, you're trying to start figuring stuff out in late 20s, early 30s, and what you really want to do. You know, you got the partying out of your scene. So, anyways, yeah, at that point, it was just one of those, like, what do I want to do in life? And I love people. I love teaching people things. And I would find myself on Facebook being that guy that, like, when there's a new surfer in town, would reach out to them and say, hey, here's the gear you need. Here's where you probably want to check out. And I generally, you know, enjoyed that, mm-hmm. helping people out, getting started. So, you know, doing that. And then also, you know, my love for surfing, it just kind of, you know, kind of blossomed into an idea of starting the surf shop here in Milwaukee.
And was the location in Shorewood, was that purely, hey, it's really close to the lake?
That was a factor, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we were looking at those areas close to a beach because we do offer rentals and we didn't want to have our customers have to haul gear around town. So, yeah, that was one of the biggest factors. And, you know, I came from Madison, so I really didn't know much about Milwaukee at all or really what any of these neighborhoods were like. But I did surf in Shorewood here at Atwater Beach. And, you know, it seemed like a very nice community, you know, not only to do business in, but the locals as well are just very nice and supportive. So, I don't know. You know, it's just funny how the stars align, and we ended up finding an open space that fit our budget, you know, just a half mile from the beach here.
Very good. Jake Brissett is the owner of Lake Effect Surf Shop. When we come back, more inspiration from the entrepreneur, and I want to get your assessments, Jake, kind of just the current retail climate that we're living in, what you're seeing, not only in the North Shore where your location is, but, you know, across the region. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Jake Brissett is the owner of Lake Effect Surf Shop in Shorewood, Wisconsin. Jake, again, thanks for spending time with us this morning. So how do you balance kind of running the brick and mortar, the lessons, the rental business? You're an ambassador at Royal Enfield. I have a family. Like, how do you balance it all in your entrepreneurial brain?
Yes. Part you know, you start, I feel like in life you just add stuff on and it never really gets easier, right? But I'll say one thing is the family always comes first, and that's how it should be, right? So that's the first thing I always focus on, is making sure my family's, you know, provided for, taken care of, and most importantly happy, right? Yeah. So that's the number one priority. Then I'd obviously say the businesses is after that, because that's what directly supports them. So it is all kind of one big loop, but finding the way to prioritize that. As I mentioned before, I always try to throw that family first. And then, you know, after that, I really do want to, I focus on the people, right? Keeping your employees happy and the people that are behind the brand. So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, how you really prioritize it, because things just pop up throughout the year, you know, at different avenues, whether it's with your family or your business or even, you know, your second business, right? Yeah. So, what's nice is after doing this for 8 years, Jeff, is you do get kind of a flow where you order, you know, on your schedules, and you obviously do your taxes, your QuickBooks and all that on schedule. So once you kind of start flowing with the business and getting things all on track, then that's when you can start to, you know, look at adding a piece here or seeing what would fit next.
Yeah. What's your assessment of the current retail climate now? I mean, there's probably some seasonality to your business, obviously, but as we kind of head into the holiday season, what are you seeing out there from a consumer standpoint?
You know, it seems pretty tough right now for a lot of brick and mortar retail businesses. And, you know, I'll say it's never been easy, right? Like,
right.
We live in an online era, and that's obviously going to be your main competition, is that fast and easy click. I will say what helps with a brick and mortar like ours is just having that, you know, unique niche culture or following, I should say. So what's cool is, you know, we offer exclusive products, right? Our Surf Wisconsin t-shirts, our Milwaukee Surf Club, Lake Effect Surf Shop stuff. And that's something you really can't get anywhere else. So, now people can purchase that online as well, but a lot of people, what I find is they come to the store for the experience, right? They want to talk to you. They want to be around other surfers and be immersed in that culture. So what helps with these niche businesses like ours is that, you know, it's not only a place to come and buy goods, but it's a place you can come and, you know, hang out with other people that have the like mind, talk with other people who know the, you know, the culture that you're in, and just share those experiences.
Yeah, I've always appreciated, Jake, your kind of your approach to planting seeds and cultivating community. I mean, you're involved in the Business Improvement District in Sherwood, so it's kind of a rising tides lifts all boats from a surf standpoint, right? That's what you do each and every day.
Absolutely. Well, and I love when you say planting seeds, Jeff. You mentioned that, you know, that phrase. And I thought about that the other day, and I'm like, you know, if you really want to just say building relationships, that's pretty much the same thing, right?
Right.
You know, I hope that doesn't sound too slimy business, man, and me say, oh, plant the seeds that, you know, hopefully we'll make that money later, right? But what it really comes down to is just building a relationship. That seed is just your introduction to that relationship with the customer, or honestly, I consider most of them friends at this point. So
very good. So if you're heading out surfing after this, what is it, full wetsuit, and like how cold is it? Is it getting out there?
Oh, it's so funny you mentioned that, because you know we're in one of the few surf climates where the air temperature fluctuates literally 100 degrees throughout the year, right? Mm. It can be 100 in the summer, and it can be easily zero in the winter. So, you know, a couple of days ago, I was wearing a 3-millimeter wetsuit without boots and gloves and just fine out there. I woke up today, it's 40 degrees and windy, and I'll probably be in a 4-millimeter with a hood, boots, and gloves. So, you know, it's just you wake up and you see what Mother Nature is going to give you, and you work with it.
All right, very good. Surf on. Have a great day, Jake, and I appreciate your time.
Jeff.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Jake Brissett is the owner of Lake Effect Surf Shop in Shorewood, Wisconsin. Check him out. It's a great, great local retail option. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Time for Jeff Sherman's Try, Take, Buy on The Upswing.
Do it. Try it. Do it. Try it.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Indeed, try, take, buy. Let's go try. Halloween lights are coming to downtown Milwaukee. New this year from the Downtown Business Improvement District. The district is partnering with Baird and the Wisconsin Center District to present a seasonal display of lights for families. Obviously, the Milwaukee Holiday Lights Festival is an institution downtown. Now they're adding Halloween lights in downtown Milwaukee, now through Halloween. The Halloween Village at the Baird Community Commons at the new Baird Center, 400 West Wisconsin Avenue, has a spooktacular scene for photo ops, an outdoor display for pictures, interactive figures, a walkthrough with this giant 12-foot pumpkin, interactive lighting figures, ghosts, scarecrows, Frankenstein, two different witches, and much, much more. Check out the Halloween Village at the Baird Center. There's daytime hours and, of course, nighttime hours, too. The experience is free and open to the public. My take, it's a literal take. Someone you love needs an ID to vote, you can take them to the DMV. And the DMV has answers to all your questions. Ahead of the Wisconsin general election, which is obviously November 5th, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the Division of Motor Vehicles, reminding us that citizens can obtain identification free of charge that is valid for voting. Valid identification for voting purposes includes a driver's license, identification card, military or student ID cards. There is no separate voter ID card. So if you want to, anyone with questions about obtaining a valid ID that can be used to vote should call the DMV's toll-free hotline at 844-588-1069. A civic service right there to make sure that you have the proper ID for Election Day. My buy, well, it's almost lunchtime. I don't know. I'm not recommending that you go to Taco Bell for lunch, but I do kind of like Taco Bell, and I like the innovation specifically that's coming out of Taco Bell. I do buy into its new budgeting tool on its app. You download the Taco Bell mobile app. It has this new Name Your Price tool that helps customers stick to a budget. It's pretty creative. Instead of just entering what you want and seeing the total, this tool allows users to set a subtotal between $5 and $25 and then randomly selects menu items within that price range. It's reverse engineering our lunchtime or our dinner time or our late night dining, whatever it is. Users can pin the items into their cart and then re-randomize to find other combinations if you want. The tool doesn't include drinks or freezes or any of the combos or the specials, but it's a pretty interesting way to look at fast food. You put in the dollar amount you want to spend. It gives you the items on the menu that it recommends. I talked about this idea with my kids, and they're like, wow, that's pretty interesting. And they're all about the apps and finding creative ways to spend their parents' money. So they're like, all right, wow, I can just put in $5 and it will tell me exactly what I want, and it won't go over or under. Yes, budgeting tools from the big fast food giants, you know, sometimes we can roll our eyes at them, but making budgeting easier is a good thing for all of us. All right, tomorrow on the show, we have the business of sports. Brian Lammy from Team Lammy will join. We have a bunch of fun topics we're going to go through. And then the owners of Burghardt Sporting Goods will join to talk about their family business and moving into some new innovative opportunities at Burghardt Sporting Goods.